This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم كثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى فلما أتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع نعليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome everyone to the second part of Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Did the news of Musa alayhi salam come to you? Did the news of the speech of Musa alayhi salam come to you? Did the news of the affair of Musa alayhi salam come to you? And what's this news? And we said the first part of Surah Taha was related to the Qur'an. And now the second part is related to the story of Musa alayhi salam, and that also is divided into two parts. The story of Musa alayhi salam, which we'll be discussing today, and another story which we'll be discussing in a later part of our tafsir, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So now, remember, first and foremost, Musa alayhi salam's story is mentioned in many, many parts of the Qur'an. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a story of any of the messengers, He's doing so because He has a reason. There's a reason behind it. It very effectively gets a message across when it comes to the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already discussing. We already mentioned in the previous episode that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was discussing the idea of the Qur'an, that Allah hasn't revealed the Qur'an so that people may go through distress, right? And we also mentioned that the people of Quraysh, they were accusing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of having gone through distress because of the revelation of the Qur'an upon him. Now, since the people of Quraysh, the people to whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been sent, are accusing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this, and they are annoying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way, they are mocking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the story of Musa alayhi salam to console the messenger. Allah continues and He says, إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا. When Musa alayhi salam saw the fire. What's the fire? He saw a fire by, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will describe, in Ash-Sham. He was on a travel with his family from Madian to Egypt. Okay? And with him was his wife and a couple of other people, his servant and so on and so forth. Or they said just his wife alone, perhaps. In either case, he was on a travel from Madian to Egypt. And on the way, he ended up losing track of the direction because it was late night and it was extremely dark, so he didn't know where exactly he is and which exact direction he should be going towards, right? So from a distance, Musa alayhi salam, he ended up spotting some fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this particular scenario. Notice he picked off right in the middle of the story, not from the beginning of Musa alayhi salam's life and so on and so forth. Even though some of those events will also be mentioned over here and highlighted over here. And this is because, as we said earlier, sometimes there is chronology of events within the stories or within the passages that Allah mentions. But the purpose of the Qur'an is not that it happens to be a storybook. The purpose is so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a lesson. Whatever angle of the story is giving that lesson, Allah will mention that particular angle of the story. Right now, this particular angle of the story is where the lesson lies. So Allah is mentioning this particular part of the story. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا. Remember, O Muhammad, when the Prophet Musa alayhi salam saw the fire from a distance. فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ. And then he said to his family, أُمْكُثُ. Hang on over here, stay over here. إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا. I saw a fire from a distance. لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ. Perhaps I'll bring some fire along with me. Perhaps I'll take a stick and use it to ignite some fire on it, some firewood or something, and bring that little bit of fire so we have some light in the direction that we happen to be walking. لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ. Perhaps I'll bring some light along with me by going to this fire. Or I might find that there actually happens to be someone by the fire. It may be a campfire, there's a group of people there. So he says, أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًا. Or I might find some guidance by this fire as well. Now this particular statement of Musa alayhi salam is extremely powerful. In that, Musa alayhi salam said, or I might find some guidance therein. What he means is, or I might find a guide. But in reality, if we'll, as we continue reading these, the story, we'll realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gave him guidance over there. In that Allah gave him the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us that He has chosen him as He speaks to Musa alayhi salam. So his wordings were very accurate in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to use the correct words because he was actually given a certain form of guidance as he went to this fire, even though it wasn't the guidance that he was looking for, and that was someone that would give him directions to wherever he happens to want to go. So, he says, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا. Allah says, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى. So when Musa alayhi salam actually got to this fire, which happens to be, as I said, in Ash-Sham, he was traveling from Madian to Egypt. إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ. Suddenly, نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى. Suddenly, a voice screamed out, or a voice said loudly, يَا مُوسَى. Oh Musa. Oh Musa alayhi salam. Oh Musa. What did this voice say? إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. I happen to be your Lord, so go ahead and take off your shoes. Why do you have to take off your shoes? إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. You have to take your shoes off because you happen to be in a wadi, you happen to be in a valley which is extremely sacred, and it is known as Wadi Tuwa. It is known as Tuwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gave the name of that wadi for us to know exactly where Musa alayhi salam happened to be during that particular case. But one of the things you'll notice over here is that the first adab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us over here is that when we end up going to sacred places, then we take off the shoes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. Take off your shoes. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. You happen to be in a wadi, you happen to be in a valley which happens to be very blessed and so on and so forth. So this is a great etiquette, right? We know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed salah also with shoes. Even though in that case, Jibreel had come down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, explained to him that your shoes happen to have some filth on them, so take them off. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took them off, right? But notice that the Prophet was wearing this in a type of setting in Medina wherein there are no carpets, there are no none of these other type of things, right? And sometimes the people today misunderstand the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will say, look, the Prophet was wearing shoes, so I'll bring my shoes into the masjid, right? That's not the case. You don't bring your shoes into the masjid and say the Prophet ﷺ did that. It's carpeted, it's clean, and so on and so forth. And similarly, as you notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him that as an etiquette of being in a sacred place. He said, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. So go ahead and take your shoes off. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. You happen to be in a wadi. You happen to be in a valley that is extremely sacred. طُوَن, which is known by the name طُوَى. Allah continues. And He says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ. And I have chosen you, O Musa. I have chosen you. As we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose Musa alayhi salam for the risala, for the prophethood. So He told them now directly, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ. I have now chosen you for my prophethood, for my message, for the fact that you are now here on a messenger. And the second adab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Prophet Musa alayhi salam is that He said, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen up. Listen carefully, right? And this particular adab is really, really... this particular etiquette or this particular manner is really important if we actually truly want the guidance to come within our hearts and our minds, and if we actually want that guidance to affect our souls and so forth, right? If a person is just giving some slight attention to whatever he happens to be listening to, which is known as a sama', to just simply hear, right? The person is just passively hearing something, that's one thing. But if you are now sitting here attentively, all of the other occupations, you put them aside for a second and you're listening to the guidance that is being granted to you, the type of power that you will feel and the type of empowerment you will feel from that guidance is going to be another level, right? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before even getting to other points, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, listen up very, very carefully. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. And Allah told us that about the Qur'an as well, that whenever the Qur'an is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا. So listen to that Qur'an and also be very, very keen on following whatever you happen to be hearing. Implement that within your life as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ those people who end up hearing the Qur'an and then they follow the best of that. Those people who hear the guidance and then they follow the best of that. So Allah is always taking us back to الاستماع. Of listening. So if you truly want guidance, the scholars, they said the first portion of that guidance is in listening. You have to listen very, very carefully. We're living in a time now where everybody just wants to speak, right? Everybody just wants to talk. They don't really want to listen. You have to spend your time listening before you can actually start talking. You have to spend your time allowing for the guidance by those who happen to be the heirs of the messenger, allowing for that guidance to come within your heart in order for you to actually be able to give that guidance to other people as well. So the lesson then within this ayah is فَاسْتَمِعْ. Allow yourself to listen. Take some time. Hear it out. And also, before you reject something, before you just, you know, choose not to accept it, listen to the whole story, whatever is being said to you. Before you jump to conclusions, listen to it, right? Listen to the story of both parties. Don't just hear one side of the story and then and totally reject or totally forget the other side of the story. Listen. This is the importance of listening. That the second etiquette that Allah teaches His Messenger is to listen. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen to what is being revealed to you. And the message that Allah reveals, He starts off with a simple, pure monotheistic message of the deen of Allah, of the religion of Allah. Allah says, "Inni an Allah." Allah says, "I, in fact, me, I am Allah." "Innani an Allah." "I, in fact, me, I am Allah." Right? "La ilaha illa ana." There is no God except for me. "Fa'budni." So worship me. "وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي." And also establish the prayer for the sake of my remembrance, for the sake of my mention, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then starts off by giving the Prophet two etiquettes. A, take off your shoes. B, be attentive. So those two etiquettes are actually leading us to a general theme in two angles of etiquette before we end up receiving guidance. The first thing is an external etiquette, and that is that we prepare ourselves externally. So taking off the shoes was amongst the etiquettes that the Prophet Musa alayhi salam was given. I.e. prepare yourself externally. Get yourself the right clothes, get yourself the right dress, take the right things off and put the right things on. That's the point, right? Externally, prepare yourself for that guidance. And that's why when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in clothes which were shadidu bayad al-thiyab, right? Extremely pure white clothing, right? And he had his hair done as well. Everything was perfect when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? So externally prepare yourself, and internally prepare yourself as well by throwing away all other ideas which may be occupying your mind so you can actually listen. And then for those who want to give the message of Islam, start off with the most simple message of Islam, and that is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He in fact is the Lord, and there is no Lord except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He in fact is the deity, and that there is no other deities except Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to Musa alayhi salam, says, "Inni ana Allah, indeed I am Allah Azza wa Jal. La ilaha illa ana. There are no gods except for me. There is no deities except for me. There is nothing worthy of worship except for me. Fa'budni wa aqimi salata lidhikri." Now that you know that there are no deities worthy of worship except me, then the natural consequence is that you end up worshipping me and you do not worship anyone other than me. Fa'budni, so worship me and me alone. Wa aqimi salata lidhikri, and establish the prayer for my mention. There are two things over here. Establish the prayer. So that means that other prophets had also been given the message of establishing their prayer, as we know from the sunnah as well. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, establish prayer for my mention, for my remembrance, right? You know, establishing prayer is to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. True establishment of prayer, إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, true establishment of prayer is that you ensure that you are in fact remembering Allah Azza wa Jal within this prayer. And that's why He told even Musa alayhi salam, establish your prayer so you remember me. Not to simply do lip service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say all the things that you've memorized as a child without even considering them, without even pondering them, without even remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least, right? None of that. That's not the true establishment of prayer. The true establishment of prayer is that you ponder every single thing that you're saying, and that will get you closer to Allah. And believe you me, that will get you away from the deepest troubles within this world. If you truly establish Allah, Allah will remember you as well. And that's why the scholars, they said, this ayah is actually an ayah that can be interpreted in both ways, right? What does that mean? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, establish your prayer for my remembrance, i.e. you remember me within the prayer, and also so that I may remember you as well. لِذِكْرِي, so that I end up mentioning you, right? So when you mention Allah, and you truly remember Allah, Allah also remembers you. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers you, then those deep difficulties that are within your lives, they will be solved by simply establishing this prayer. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you an ease and tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and He says, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ, indeed the time, indeed the sa'ah, indeed the day of judgment, indeed that final hour is atiyah, it's definitely coming, ism fa'il. And that shows you how established this reality is of the day of judgment coming, that it is surely, definitely, without any doubts coming. Indeed, the time, the day of judgment, the sa'ah, which has the alif lam of al-ahad, that means you already know the hour that I'm talking about. So I don't even need to tell you, inna sa'at al-qiyamah, indeed the day, the hour of the day of judgment. I can simply say, indeed the hour is coming, because I know you know what the hour happens to be. Atiyatun, it's definitely coming. It's on its way. Akadu ukhfiha. It's almost as if I've hidden it, but I haven't fully hidden it. What does that mean? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in fact hidden the actual hour. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain guidelines, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain signs which tell us that the day of judgment is in fact close, right? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, "Mata as-sa'a?" When is the day of judgment, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the person who's asking is not any more knowledgeable than the one who's asked. مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who's being asked doesn't have any more knowledge than the one who is asking. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then asked by Jibreel, "Tell me of the amarat. Tell me of the signs of the day of judgment." So the Prophet ﷺ then gave a couple of signs of the day of judgment. And in fact, the signs of the day of judgment are listed there, just as they are listed in other places of the deen as well. Just as they are mentioned in other places in the Qur'an, right? And they're mentioned in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So this is a very, very noble science to know. And that is because The humanity as a whole needs to be prepared for this massive event. Humanity as a whole has never actually seen any event more serious than the Day of Judgment, right? So if that's the case, then if that Day of Judgment happens to be coming close, then we need to start getting prepared as a humanity. Today, when we see signs of global warming, you have global leaders from around the world getting together to try to solve the crisis of global warming. Isn't that so? So if we know that the signs of the Day of Judgment is coming close, then us as humanity also need to start getting prepared for this Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ Indeed, the Day of Judgment is on its way, it's coming. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا It's as if I've almost concealed it as well, and not fully revealed it. But some of the signs have been revealed. لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى So that every single soul may be given reward for what they had done and what they had undertaken within this life. And the lam over here is lam al-ta'lil. The lam over here is the lam of reasoning, okay? So what that means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the reason for why Allah has made a Day of Judgment, right? Because if there was no Day of Judgment, there would be many, many wrongs and oppressions and injustices that would go unaccounted for, right? Those people who think that they can do injustice and get away with it from within this world, right? They can, they might be able to sometimes get away with it within this world. But know full well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make those people pay on the Day of Judgment. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقِ Indeed of a surety, you will give up the rights, you will pay up the rights that you ended up violating of other people to a degree that the sheep which happens to have horn will the cattle which happens to have horn or the animal which happens to have horns will actually pay for the injustice that it had committed by hitting one which didn't have the horns as well. That is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Right? So the injustices that people commit against each other will be paid for, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have placed this Day of Judgment, لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسَعَى So that every soul will have to pay for what they have done. Every soul will have to pay for the evils that they had done. Every soul will be rewarded also for the good that they have done as well. So the good that you do is not God does not go unaccounted for, and the evil that you do does not go accounted for. Not in the court of Allah. That may happen in this dunya, right? And that's why those people who are very, very sincere, truly sincere, they actually have sincerity within their hearts, and they want to gain the reward. They don't look for the reward within this world because they know every single thing they do. Even in the darknesses of dark places, even in the deep areas of their houses where no one else can see them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know full well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay for that deed that they have done. Repay them for that deed that they had done. Compensate them for the good that they had done, right? To a degree that if a person is simply reading a book perhaps, right? And there happens to be a mistake. And I'll give you an example. This is what some of our mashayikh used to tell us. As you're reading a book, you simply see an error, a printing error, right? Perhaps the author made a slight printing error, or the company that was printing that made a slight printing error. Sometimes what happens is ayat or a hadith happened to be printed inaccurately. Not that they're wrong, but the printing company did a mistake by printing it wrong. Most of the times, this is not the case in masahif, but in books this does happen, right? So simply by taking your pen and correcting that, that would be something that will be rewarded for. Nobody knows that except you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's reward within that. Something as simple as that can give you reward. Simply by giving someone a little morsel that they can eat of food, that will be rewardful. Simply by giving a cat something to eat or drink that is struggling to find that will be rewardful. Simply by giving even a dog something to eat or drink, that will be considered rewardful, as we find within the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People may not see that, but Allah is watching and Allah will reward you. So remember, there's a Day of Judgment. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى So don't allow anyone to stop you. Don't allow those people who do not believe in the Day of Judgment for them to stop you from this Day of Judgment and seeking the reward within this Day of Judgment. Why? Because those who don't believe in the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. Those people who do not believe in the Day of Judgment, they are actually simply following their own desires. Even if you prove to them with all the logic that there is a God, even if you prove to them with all the logic that there happens to be a Day of Judgment, even if you prove to them with all the logic that there happens to be a Jannah, and there happens to be a Naar, there happens to be paradise, and there happens to be hellfire, you give them all the logical explanations, their hawa, their desires will overtake them. And their desires will overcome them. And that's why people who don't disbelieve in Allah, they know they can't explain all of creation with their own explanations. When they get to the end of it all, they'll say, okay, now at this point I'm stuck. Beyond this, I can't explain anymore. You have to allow me one miracle over here. All right, but we'll see to them, if you want one miracle, then give us one miracle as well. If you want one miracle to explain this particular sequences of events that you talk about, the Big Bang Theory and so forth, right? You want something to explain that, well, what are you going to do about the next sequence of events? How are you going to explain that? Or the one after that? Or the one after that? You're going to need more than one miracle. All we tell you is that we believe in something that is already part and parcel of your innate nature, to which human has found rest over the generations from the day of Adam till the day of judgment. People have always and will continue to always find a natural inclination to believe in God. So when we believe in that, we're able to explain every supernatural phenomenon within the world, right? Doctors will tell you there's something called a sudden cure, right? Sudden cure. Suddenly, a person who happens to have a very serious sickness suddenly becomes cured, okay? Suddenly becomes cured. People who have been in practice in medicine and they're true to themselves, they know that many, many times they suddenly find themselves cured without any explanations and they can't really explain themselves. How often do you hear of these stories? Quite often. Those people who are doctors and they've been in practice for many years and they've seen events of such nature unfold, they'll say this. In fact, there's complete books written on these sudden cure experiences that people have. Unexplainable by medicine. Allah is there. Because there's people that were turning to Allah at that moment and calling to Allah about their sick person, about the people who happen to be sick within their families, and they were cured because there is a supernatural power. There is an infinite power, and there is an intelligent designer, and there is who we like to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? As Muslims. And also Christians as well call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah, as it is in the Bible as well. So the point that I'm trying to get to is those people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality, and they don't believe in the Day of Judgment, and they don't believe in religion at all, they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. So these people who happen to be atheists, Allah says, they are following their desires, that's all they're doing. فَتَرْدَى, right? So they end up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you do not allow them to block you from belief. Not in the Day of Judgment. And not in not in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some of them become really, really fanatic as well. Right? They're not just about, oh, I disbelieve in God and I disbelieve in the Day of Judgment. No, this is science, it's proven. No, it's not proven. You like for it to be proven, but it's not proven. Right? So they will try to bully people who otherwise do not know better into disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't allow such a person to do what? To allow you to disbelieve or stop you from the Day of Judgment and believing and hoping in the reward of the Day of Judgment and fearing the punishment of the Day of Judgment. Allah says, فَتَرْدَى, then you will fall. Now, رَدِيَ يَرْدَى means what? رَدِيَ يَرْدَى means to fall. And تَرَدَى or أَرْدَاهُ means to make someone fall into death. And we know metaphorically, in many times in the Qur'an, Allah refers to those who disbelieve in Allah as those who are dead in terms of their heart, internally. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't allow them to stop you from believing and hoping and fearing the Day of Judgment, right? Lest you fall also and internally, spiritually die. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a spiritual state of iman forever and always. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to strengthen our belief in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And the final day, I ask Allah to allow us to hope for the reward on the Day of Judgment and fear the punishment on the Day of Judgment as He so pleases. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.